welcome tonight to this special Sunday before service for Reverend and Mrs. Patterson. I'd also like to welcome family and friends along, and also a word of welcome to the Reverend Harris and members of Presbytery who have come along to participate in the service tonight. And for those joining us online, a special word of welcome to you as well. We trust that the Lord will bless the word of God to all of our hearts tonight in this service. It's also a joy to welcome Miss Margaret Russell. She was actually in the service one Sunday I was preaching. I didn't recognise her behind the mask. She hasn't the mask on tonight. I recognise her now. I didn't give her a welcome then. I want to make up for that. I've got to apologise for that. And we're glad that she's here tonight. We trust that the Lord will bless you as you join here in this service tonight. And then on behalf of the Korean congregation, I'd like to wish both of you every blessing as you return to the land of Kenya. May the Lord give you travelling mercies, keep you in good health and strength, and meet your every need. And we can assure you of our prayers here in the congregation, and we will be upholding you at the throne of heavenly grace. So may the Lord bless you both in the days ahead and the will of the Lord. We're going to commence by singing to God's praise the hymn number 7 in the hymn book. You'll find the words up on the screen. To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us a son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn number 7. Sing it to the glory of God, please.
Life, Father, God, when for
for prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the privilege of being able to gather in Thy sacred presence in the Saviour's name. We thank Thee for the occasion that finds us in the house of God. Bless Thee for Thy servants who have been used of God in the past in the land of Kenya, after a period of time here, are now able to return to the land of God's calling. We do thank Thee for them. We thank Thee for the privilege of being able to be co-laborers and workers together in the great missions field of the world. We thank Thee for the direction of God in their lives, for their salvation, for their calling, for the years of service given to Thee. We thank Thee for God's providence and the way that Thou has worked over these past number of months, how God has been leading, how God has been guiding. And we ask of Thee now that as they will soon set forth again from us, that the Lord will go before them. We pray for a safe revival again in Kenya. We pray for health and strength for them in these difficult times the world over. We commend them unto Thy loving care. And then we pray that every need will be met, that the Lord will be pleased to bless them in the different sphere of service that they engage in. We pray for fruit for their labor. We pray for that increase through the preaching of the Word of God. And may God be pleased to bless them in a very special way. We do pray for the help of God to be given to those who participate tonight. We thank Thee for those with a great interest in the mission work of the Church of Jesus Christ, for those who have a passion and a burden for this work, those who have insight into the great needs the world over. We thank Thee for talented people, gifted people, people with a burden. And we pray for our missionaries, other missionaries. Some of them may be in difficult places and awkward places, whoever they are, wherever they are found now, maybe alone, maybe feeling down and discouraged, maybe with temporal needs and physical needs and spiritual needs. Lord, we do thank Thee that the promise is that the eye of God is upon the righteous and the ear of the Lord is open unto their cry. And so for such tonight, wherever they may be, we are gathered here in a beautiful building with heat, with all our needs met here. They may have none of these things tonight, but the Lord knows where they're at. Minister to them. And as we worship God in this service, as we say farewell to our friends, as they head back to the place of God's appointment, we ask of Thee to bless those, whoever they are, wherever they may be, in whatever circumstances they find themselves, that the Lord Himself will draw near and go with them. We do thank Thee for the gospel that we have to preach. We do thank Thee for the great message that can change hearts, the great message that can change the world. And Lord, we're thankful for men and those other with gifts and talents who are able to share the gospel. May it please the Lord in these times of darkness, these times of great persecution and opposition to the gospel, that it might please Thee to prosper the going forth of Thy precious word. We know that when the people of Israel were down in the land of Egypt, they were persecuted. But in spite of the persecution, God was with them, and God increased them, and God blessed them. And so even at the time of persecution the world over, bless the gospel, bless gospel truth, gospel preachers, gospel missionaries, and those with a burden to preach the glorious message of salvation by faith in Christ alone. Grant that in the Saviour's name their labours will be blessed of God. And if there should be any gathered here tonight in this service, yet unconverted, far from the Saviour, we pray that even by the ministry of the Word, even by what they hear in the service, that God will challenge their hearts. And what a night it would be in this sending forth service to know that someone put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Blessed Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon this gathering. Gather up our wandering thoughts, we humbly pray in Jesus' name. And may we focus on Christ. May we hear his voice. And if it please thee, may we get a glimpse of thy glory in this service. So abide with us now. Bless thy servant then as he comes in a short time to bring the message. May he know help in the Spirit to lift up Christ in the Saviour's name. Amen. We're delighted to have the Reverend David Park with us tonight. And I would like our brother to come now. He's going to lead the rest of the service. And brother, and those who come with wipes here to clean the pulpit and so on, so feel free to just down and below here. I'll just do Mr. Park the courtesy here. There you are. That's the best I can do, brother. You come ahead now.
Thank you, Reverend Irwin. You say cleanliness is the next to godliness, so thank you for cleaning down the pulpit here. Can I add my words of welcome to all who've come? Good to see each and every one, folks from the Coleraine Church, family and friends, of course, of the Reverend and Mrs. Patterson, members of the Mission Board and members of the Missionary Council. We bid you welcome in the Saviour's great name. Tonight is a sending forth service. We have preferred in the last number of years to call a service like this sending forth rather than farewell. Farewell is kind of a sad thing, you know, you're saying farewell to people, but sending them forth is a very positive thing. It takes us back to that chapter in Acts 13 where the disciples sent forth the first missionaries. The church sent them forth, the Holy Spirit sent them forth. We read there, and you can be very confident tonight that that's what's happening. The church here under God is sending you forth, and the Holy Spirit is sending you forth back to Kenya to labour for the Lord. We are glad that a witness was maintained, and what you've been able to do over the past number of weeks, months and into years, and you've been in contact with the folks in Kenya, and that cause has been maintained, and that's a good thing. And we're glad tonight, Alison, that you're well enough and that the Lord has brought you to this place where both of you are able to go back to Kenya. I want to just say on behalf of the Missionary Council as well that we are praying for you, and we assure you that you will be upheld by the members of the Council at the throne of heavenly grace. Now we're going to have the reading of the Word of God. One of our Mission Board members and the Minister of Armagh is here, the Reverend David McMillan, and he's going to read the Scriptures for us. I'll wipe this down for you. And then at the end, we can use it old style. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Folk, we're turning in the Scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 28. We're delighted to be here tonight. It's a privilege to take part in this special sending forth service and to be identified with the Lord's work in the land of Kenya. We're thankful for the Lord's good hand upon the Pattersons and for opening up the door for them to return. We can see the Lord's hand in that, his providential dealings. Even over these last months, we want to assure them of our continued support for the days that lie ahead. We pray that very soon, when they return to Kenya, the Lord will give them tokens for good, and that this will prove to be the most fruitful and blessed term of service that they've had in the land of Kenya, and that the Lord will answer that prayer that has been going up from the board for quite a few months to send forth other labourers to Kenya too, to strengthen your hands in coming days. So we're in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. We're beginning to read at the 9th verse, and reading down to the end of this chapter brings us to the end of the book. Matthew 28, the verse 9. And let us hear the word of the Lord at our hearts tonight. The Scriptures tell us, and as they, that's the two ladies, the two Marys mentioned there in the first verse, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we know the Lord will follow with his blessing. That's the public reading of his word. Amen. Come ahead, my friend. Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend McMillan, for reading the Scriptures of Truth tonight. Mr. Alistair Hamilton is one of the Mission Board officers. He's also a member of the Missionary Council, and we're delighted that he's here tonight. And he's going to come just now and make a presentation, and then thereafter you're able to respond to that, Reverend Patterson. So, all right. Thank you very much. You can go to that one.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend Park. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight to take part in this special service for Reverend and Mrs. Patterson. I speak here tonight on behalf of the Mission Board members, and since you've introduced me, on behalf of the Missionary Council as well. So both of those roles tonight, I'm delighted to be here. And to see Reverend and Mrs. Patterson go forward to Kenya, to the land of their calling. It was indeed great news to hear that door had reopened again. For many months we were watching as restrictions tightened, as the red list persisted, and as the travel opportunity to return to Kenya was not there. And we give thanks to God tonight that door has opened again. We thank God that the restrictions have eased, and that our brother and sister here are able now to return to the land of their calling. We also give thanks tonight to God for his hand upon Mrs. Patterson. Over many months now, both in terms of treatment and in terms of tests, we are rejoicing tonight that she is able to return along with her husband to the land of Kenya. I know how frustrating it has been for both of them, as over the past year and a half they have watched the situation persist, which kept them here in Northern Ireland. And I reflect back a little bit to late 2019, early 2020. I remember conducting that interview for your deputation video, Reverend Patterson, and we knew nothing of pandemic or COVID at that stage. We were just making plans, actually, for your return to the land of Kenya. We had visited a few months earlier with Miss Russell and made grand plans for her to return back home. And we thought we had a great plan all pulled together, where Miss Russell would be able to retire, Reverend and Mrs. Patterson would be able to go out and there would be a lovely smooth transition. That plan all went well until about the 17th of March, I think was your last deputation meeting in Ballymena, and of course the world all changed for us at that stage, and those plans, both plans, were actually put upside down. But the Lord had his hand in the situation. We had to wait. It's difficult at times to wait, I know. We were watching on and waiting. You, as missionaries, were waiting expectantly to be able to return to that land. But during that time, I want to commend you, Mr. Patterson, for your work. Despite all of our plans for a physical transition in the land of Kenya, it all took place here. Ms. Russell kindly continued with the administration of our body out there, the Free Presbyterian Mission Society Africa. And then later that year, we organised the transition of responsibility from Miss Russell across to Reverend Patterson. And that has all worked very smoothly. And I suppose the pandemic taught us one thing, that there's a lot more we can do remotely. Not that we want to do it remotely, but there's a lot more we can do remotely than perhaps we had originally thought. So for that administration work over previous months, and also for your work in Glory Bible Church, as you've set to establish a lot of the principles within that church at an embryonic form, we thank you for that as well, and also for your work in the ongoing remote management of the Let the Bible Speak broadcast there on the stations in Kenya. I know with all of that remote work, you are looking forward to getting back there to renew fellowship with the believers there in the land of Kenya, and be able to dispense with that remote working and get back to face-to-face activity and to work there. On behalf of the Mission Board tonight, I would like to thank all of the people across our denomination who have given and supported so generously those deputation meetings and gifts which have come in since that, which enable Reverend and Mrs. Patterson to be able to return to the field. And we thank God for tonight for very faithful supporters across the Free Presbyterian Church who continually support those who have set their life aside to go out and to serve the Lord in mission fields. And I would ask you to continue to remember the Pattersons tonight as they go forth, not only in terms of that financial, ongoing financial need, but as already has been said, to hold them up at the throne of grace and prayer that the Lord would bless them and keep them in that land. And tonight, Reverend Patterson, has already been said, I'm here to make a presentation, and on behalf of the Mission Board tonight, we want to make a small presentation to you. It's a token of our appreciation for your work in months past, but your dedication to return to the mission field now. Unlike times past where I would have asked you to come forward and give you an envelope, we do it by contactless now, so we will make sure that you will receive that gift tomorrow morning, and we pray that it will be a small encouragement and blessing to you as you take this step forward at this time. I close tonight with the words that you asked to be printed on your prayer card this time, Reverend Patterson. I'll shorten them a little bit. On that, you had a verse that said, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coasts." And truly, as we reflect back over the last few years, COVID aside, the Lord has enlarged our coasts in the land of Kenya. The Let the Bible Speak broadcast continue to go forward. New stations have been opened. The Glory Bible Church has been established. Four little fellowships now under that umbrella, something that we had long prayed for in terms of our work out there in Kenya, and our coasts have been enlarged. And we pray tonight that the Lord will continue to bless you, give you travelling mercies, bless you when you arrive out there and connect again with the believers in the land of Kenya. And our greatest prayer tonight is that the Lord will answer that prayer for you and continue to enlarge your coasts. Amen.
It's very difficult to reply to the words of our brother Alistair Hamilton, but I would like to sincerely thank Mr. Hamilton and the Mission Board for the gift and for your kindness to Alison and I, especially on this occasion. We would like to thank all of you for making the special effort to come to this Sending Forth service this evening. We know that also that there's many who would like to join with us in normal circumstances, but are able to join with us online tonight. We'd like to especially thank our mission board for organising this service this evening, and also for the session and committee here of the church in Korean for all of their help. But we do fervently thank the Lord for undertaking for us since we came home on furlough in December 2019. We were due to return to Kenya, as been intimated. We had planned to return in May 2020, but as you know, that wasn't possible with the COVID situation and the travel restrictions. But we have committed the time of our return to the Lord. My mum went to be with the Lord on Friday the 17th of September, and we were glad that we were still at home on that occasion and that we could spend time with her, especially in her final hours, and that we were able to take part in the funeral service. And we're also tonight, we're very thankful to the support of her family, and in many ways that support enables us to return to the mission field in Kenya. We plan DV to fly from Belfast to Nairobi on next Thursday, the 21st of October, and we would sincerely covet your prayers for us and for our family and for the Lord's work in the land of Kenya. And we covet your prayers for us, as we have done some preparation. We've got our COVID certificates and our visas and our tickets, but there are still some remaining things to be done before we actually depart. But do pray that the Lord will undertake, and especially for our family members here at home, and especially for Alison's mum and my father. Pray for us as we travel and as we settle back in Kenya. There are still some restrictions there at this time. When we return, we understand that we will not have to isolate, but we have to download an app on our phone, and we have to make a daily report on that app for 14 days. But hopefully that will all go okay. I know the way things go on a mobile phone, sometimes it's not that straightforward. But last time, whenever we arrived back in Kitale in 2018, there are always challenges whenever you return to the mission field or return to Kitale after you've been away for a period of time. And in August 2018, we had to deal with the ants that went into the study, and they were slowly eating their way through my set of sperrum, much to my consternation. But it was really a work of art, and you would have to see it to believe the work that they had done. But pray for us as we take off the physical ministry in Kenya among our brethren and sisters in Glory Bible Church and in the wider community. As indicated, that we have been able to make good use of Zoom during the months that are past, and we're glad that we'll be able to take up a physical ministry again. But I imagine that Zoom will still continue for some meetings. For example, on a Monday morning, we have a pastor's prayer meeting, and we imagine that that will still continue because of the distance that is involved in order to convene a physical meeting. But do pray for us. Pray for us as we do the necessary administration work for FPMSA in Kenya. And also remember our mission board. We are very thankful for their support and encouragement to us, and for all of their help, and do pray that the Lord would be pleased to give them wisdom as they give guidance in the work. Pray also for the printing and the distribution of literature that we have prepared during our time home at here at home. Now, we have been able to print some 3,000 copies of the book that was an ongoing translation project, the book Behold My Servant, and that book has been printed. We had 1,500 copies of English and 1,500 copies of Swahili, and that has been shipped out to the land of Kenya. But tonight, just to mark that work, I would like to make a presentation, just maybe to the Reverend Harris on behalf of the Mission Board, and maybe to the Reverend Irwin here on behalf of the Church, and it's just a copy, two copies of the book. It's one book, but there are two copies, because one is in English and the other is in Swahili. And we acknowledge that this project would not have happened, but for the help of our mission board and for all of their support. And then also the congregation in Korean here had a very big part in it too, because they contributed to the finance for the printing of the work. We have some other copies which I leave with Mr. McLean, and maybe if you want a copy, you can maybe you'll be able to see him, and he'll be able to provide you with that. The Reverend Irwin, I would ask the Reverend Irwin on behalf of the church. I'd like to present you with a copy.
Thank you very much.
Also, to Reverend Harris from the Mission Board, I'd like to present this to you. And do pray for that project. Pray for the books that have been printed and sent to Kenya, that the Lord would be pleased to richly bless that effort. Pray also that the Lord will direct us and guide us in our thoughts as to how the work can be taken forward and how we can encourage God's people in the land of Kenya. Pray for the bookshops. Pray, as we've been reminded, to let the Bible speak ministry, the pastors, the churches, and the work of the Sunday schools, which Ms. Russell continues and to be involved in. Do pray that the Lord would be pleased to undertake for every aspect of the work. Just to update you, during this past week, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, we have gathered together some photographs from Kenya, some of the pastors and of the services in the Lord's Day that are past, just to update you on the work. We have, as it were, four main geographical areas in which our mission society works at present. And I start just in the north. The most northerly work is Tantana, although there are some extension works which go beyond that to the north. The church in Tantana, which is in Kapunguria way, and there, remember Pastor Emmanuel Lelimo in your prayers. Pastor Lelimo, his wife Lillian, and his two children, Barak and Omara. And I would ask you to remember the pastor and his wife and family in prayer. In Tantana, there's also the Sunday school. This is a picture just of Sunday, of Sunday past. And you'll notice the sign for the church there. It's maybe at quite a distance. Maybe it's not easy to see it clearly. But here we have the Sunday school that is in Tantana. The congregation then in the Lord's Day, the little building was packed to capacity, and it was really encouraging to see that. And Pastor Emmanuel was bringing the Word of God to the congregation. There's also another fellowship which is 30 miles north of Kapunguria in a place called Artum. And it's a fellowship on the way from Kapunguria to Ludwar. And here is a Sunday school. They have made a simple structure with wooden poles and a tarpaulin. The congregation meets in the same, under the same structure. Sometimes the structure protects you from the sun, and sometimes it protects you from the rain. Then there is another outreach work at a place called Lamut, and it is also in that sort of general, that general area. And here the children are being taught the Word of God. And so from Tantana, Kapunguria, we move down to Kitale. From Kapunguria to Kitale is about 22 miles to the south. And here Pastor Andrew Chipto is the pastor. There are two churches in Kitale, the church in Bekeke and church in Shimalatewa. Pastor Andrew, his wife Mercy, and his children, Jaden and Timothy. And Mercy, she teaches a Sunday school in Bekeke. Here she is teaching her Sunday school class. And again, the church meets in this building. It is a local school. And Pastor Andrew ministers the congregation on the Lord's Day. Then also in Katali, there's the work at Shimala Tewa. And this is a photograph of the congregation on Sunday there. Some of the men in the congregation are doing the Mission Board Bible Institute training course. And Stephen Macharia, he's the gentleman that's seated on the chair. He was actually preaching there on the Lord's Day. And in the back row, maybe it's difficult to see from where you are, but there's a man with a red tie, and his name is Jared, and he helps with the bookshop in Katale. Stephen Macharia then was preaching on the Lord's Day. There's Stephen ministering to the congregation. There's also a Sunday school in Shimala Tewa, and they're divided up into a number of classes, junior class, and then the children, the slightly older children. Lady Jane Osorrell is teaching them, and then there's a teens meeting in the afternoon, and Abby Asaliwa is teaching the young people. Then in Katali, there's also the book kiosk, and Mercy, Andrew Chipto's wife, and Jared are in charge and looking after the bookshop. So again, it's good to remember the bookshop in Katali in your prayers. Then from Katali, we move to 70 miles further south to Kakamega. And in Kakamega, we have Pastor Patrice, and he serves the Lord there along with his wife Gladys and his two children, Bernard and Gaius. The Kakamega Sunday School meets in a school in the apartment complex where Pastor Patrice lives. And the children here are all from around that area. It's a poor area. And we're thankful for the many children that gather there for the Sunday School on the Lord's Day. The congregation in Kakamega meet in the Kalmadep guest house in the town, just a short distance from the bookshop. And a young man, Brandon, was leading the service there on that occasion. Now, many of the students in Kakamega are students from the university. And here's Pastor Patrice with the congregation in Kakamega. Then in Kakamega, there's the bookshop. And do remember Josephine, who manages the bookshop, and also Gladys and Patrice, they also help out in the bookshop. So do remember the ministry of the bookshop there in your prayers. And then from Kakamega, we travel another 15 miles to the east of Kakamega to a place, a little place called Nyuporo. And here is a picture of the congregation that meets in Nyuporo. They have a nice little building. And this is a place where Sister Gillian Gillespie laboured for a good number of years. The congregation there, the pulpit is supplied usually by a brother, Benson Osungwa. And Benson, here is a picture of Benson along with his wife, Phoebe, and their two children, Zawadi, or Gift, and George. Now, George is named as a link between a George that we are very familiar with in relation to a mission board and this little man that you see in the picture. But then seated is Benson's parents, Peter and Felister. And Peter was instrumental in bringing the church, or seeing the church established in Nyuporo. Then at the beginning of August of this year, a nursery school was commenced in Nyuporo with 35 children. And Kenya is called an ECD centre, which is an early childhood development centre. And I hope you can see the children. They're all waving at you. I'm not sure if that's clear just from the photograph. But in the back there are two teachers, and also two teachers, Francesca and Sylvia. And then there's another lady, Margaret, and she looks after the cooking and the cleaning in the school. And then to the right, there is Benson, who manages and oversees the work in the school. And some of the children enjoying their lunch of rice and beans, and the teacher is keeping an eye on them all. So those are the four main areas of work. During this past 2 weeks, schools have been off, and there have been special meetings that have been convened over a period of time. Just recently in Katale, on Saturday the 25th of September, there was a baptismal service for 3 believers. And I think I've got a... This is stopped on me here. Okay, well, just to say that we had a baptismal service, or there was a baptismal service in Katale on the 25th of September. And then with schools being off over the past 2 weeks, the churches have conducted vocational Bible schools or holiday Bible clubs. And there's been a good number of children who have attended those meetings in each of the congregations. And also during the last week, some of the members of the church in Katale were able to visit a local prison and distribute the TBS camouflage Bibles. And then the week concluded with the youth conference in Katale, and that was also well attended. But do pray that the Lord would raise up more men to be used of God to point others to the Saviour, those who will teach and preach Christ and the way of salvation. Men with a message that flows from a love of God, a love of God and an assurance that God is in their heart and that He is able to transform the lives of men and women. I'd just like to thank you for remembering in prayer the work, and please continue to pray. We thank you for all of your support, and I believe that the biggest contribution that can be made to the work in Kenya is in the place of prayer. Our part of our daily readings from today in the one-year Bible is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 25. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. We covet your prayers for us and for the work of the Lord in Kenya and for our family. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church of Colossae, he said of Epaphras, who was a faithful minister in the church, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. And may you pray for us that we would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We do not know what lies ahead, but our confidence is in the Lord. Joshua heard the words which we are found in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, and their words it is also have a place in my heart. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patterson, for the updates, the reports, the slides. It's good to see the slides, and I'm sure when you look at those things, you're excited about going out now to help all these works. And I'm sure, Margaret, you're feeling a little bit homesick seeing all these areas where you laboured as well. But it has been informative, and the folks here will pray for you. And that's the appeal tonight from the Lord's servant. The greatest work that you can do is to pray. When those presentation of books were made, I knew that they were translated into Swahili. And I knew that Mr. Harris could have a good attempt reading it. And I was beginning to think, how is this man going to read Swahili? And then it's in both. So this man will probably look at both and examine both. And by the end of the year, he'll be speaking Swahili as well. And that was very interesting about the ants too, brother, that they were getting into Spurgeon. I love Spurgeon too. And we like to devour Spurgeon, but in a different way than the ants. But anyhow, we want to thank you for those reports. We come to a very important moment now, And that is special prayer. We're glad to have the Reverend Curran tonight, and he's going to come and lead us in the sending forth and commissioning prayer. And straight after that, the chairman of our board, the Reverend Harris, will bring the word and preach that message that God has laid upon his heart. Reverend Curran.
I just ask the congregation to stand as we seek the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, Thou who art the one true and living God, the triune God of heaven and earth, we make our approach unto Thee on the merits of the atoning blood and the perfect righteousness of the one who has ascended on high and led captivity captive, the one who has given that gracious promise, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, given those words of commission to his church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We thank thee for this sending forth service. We thank thee for thy servants who are before thee now, and we do commit them unto thee. We ask that it will be their experience, as was the experience of those in the church at Antioch that we have already heard of, when they were sending forth over and above their sending forth. There was the sending forth by the Holy Spirit himself. And we ask that our brother and sister will have that sweet assurance that as they go forth, they are going forth in obedience to thy command and in fulfilling of the great commission that thou hast given to thy church. We ask that thou wilt grant them travelling mercies. We pray that they will have a safe arrival in the land of their calling, in the land of Kenya. And as they get involved again in the work there, in all of its many facets, in all of its many aspects, that thou wilt draw graciously near unto them, that thou wilt equip them, that thou wilt encourage them, that thou wilt help them, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt undertake for them and those who are co-workers and co-laborers with them there in that land. O God, we pray that Thou wilt enable us to strive with them in our prayers to God for them, so that as they go to Kenya, they will have that assurance that they're here in the home front. There are those who are remembering them faithfully at the throne of grace in prayer. Lord, we do thank Thee that we are part of a denomination that believes in missionary work, in going forth with the gospel of saving grace to those in great need. And we ask that thou wilt bless our mission board, our missionary council. We pray that thou wilt continue to lead them and give them great wisdom in coming days and in coming months. And O God, may we hear soon of great things that thou art doing, even in Kenya, as our brother and sister go forth to serve thee there. We ask that thou wilt go with them, that thou wilt undertake for them, and oh, that thou wilt enable them by thy grace to resist any temptation to give way to unbelieving fears or doubts that the devil would seek to place in their minds. Oh, we pray that they will know what it is ever and always to look unto thee, believing the promises, believing thy word, and thou hast promised that thou wilt be with them, and that thou wilt never ever forsake them. O hear and answer prayer, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. You may be seated.
My pleasure to be with you this evening for this special service, where we're sending forth Reverend Mrs. Patterson back into the land of Kenya. And I heartily concur with all that has been said, and I thank everyone who has come along to take part in the meeting tonight. And we do pray very especially that God would be with us now as we gather around his word. Turn with me please to the Bible reading in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. We're going to look at the words of verse 20, especially the latter part of verse 20. Matthew chapter 28 and the latter part of verse 20. This lovely promise. And it says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." As we read through the Word of God, we can say that the whole of the Bible is one great big missionary book. And how do I know that? Because it's a book that tells the story of how an infinite God sent his Son into this world to seek and to save those that are lost. So therefore it's no surprise that when we come to consider the life of Christ, that he in turn sends his church into the world, bearing the good tidings of salvation to men and women and boys and girls and young people that are lost in their sin and without a knowledge of himself. And those great commissioning texts that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, they're found toward the end of all of the Gospels and also at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Our scripture reading in Matthew 28 records for us one of the best known of the commissioning portions of God's word, and one of the longest, from verse 18 to verse 20. It can be broken down in many different ways, and those of you who have been at missionary meetings over the years, you could tell me better outlines than I could ever give you, but it can be simply broken down into the four alls of the Great Commission. The four alls of the Great Commission. Verse 18, Jesus said, "All power." That's the power behind the Great Commission. What a wonder that all of the power of heaven is invested in sending forth the Lord's servant back into the mission field. Verse 19 tells us about the all nations. That tells us something about the plan of the Great Commission. Here we have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that knows no boundaries, that crosses all international lines, that goes into all the world to preach the gospel to every nation. Verse 20 tells us about the all things, the precepts which regulate the Great Commission. There are many people today who would nearly tell us when the Lord Jesus Christ came along, he set aside the law. The Lord Jesus Christ did not set aside the law. He was the embodiment of the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he left us clear guidance for his church that we are to obey all the things that he taught us. But what I want to draw your attention to tonight is the latter part of verse 20 and part B. There's a little bit of license given here with the outline. Every preacher is entitled to some license, and this is mine, because we have another all way here. All way. Here's the promise that accompanies the Great Commission. The word all way is just another form of saying all ways. All way equals always. But it means more than that. When we investigate the meaning of it, it means every day. It means every hour of every day. It means right to the end of your day. And right to the end of the world itself. I am with you. What a promise that the Lord Jesus gives to us as his people. This is the promise of the eternal Son of God. This is the promise of the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is the God-man speaking in his ascended glory. And there's only such a one who is divine and who fills all time and space who could keep such a promise. And the one who was revealed at the incarnation as Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one who sends forth the Reverend Mrs. Patterson tonight. And he says to you both, I am with you. I'm with you. I'm with you always. I'm with you all the days. I'm with you every hour of the day. I'm with you right to the end of the age. So as we meet here to formally and officially recommission the Reverend Mrs. Patterson and send them back to the land of Kenya, their adopted homeland, I would like to emphasize this promise to all of you tonight. And I want you to take the promise back with you. And I think it should bring great encouragement not only to your hearts, I believe, but also it should bring great encouragement to your family members. I'm always conscious when we send missionaries to the field, they don't go out on their own. They're leaving families behind them. And we think tonight especially of the families that are left behind. Fallison's mum, Timothy and Philip and the extended family circle. There's a word, I think, for all this evening. And all day, Jesus says, every day promises, as you return to the mission field at my command, this is my promise to you. This is my promise to you. I am going to be with you. Now, what better promise could anyone ever give you? I am with you, even unto the end. The life of a missionary, it can be very varied. And there's no 2 days that are rarely the same. And as I thought in the past, speak about all of the complexity of life in Kitale and in Kenya and the different types of days that Malcolm and Alison will have to face, I took great encouragement from the application of this text. Now, I couldn't go through all the 365 days of the year that they're going to experience over there, but I've summarized them under some general headings, and I want to consider how this promise can be applied to those days that they're going to spend in Kenya, but also how it can be applied to the lives of those family members that they're going to leave behind here in Northern Ireland. What a promise the Lord gives to us tonight. Firstly, let's consider together how Christ has promised to be with his servants in days of sunshine. When I thought of Malcolm and Alison going back to Kenya, the first thing that I thought of, they're going back to the sun. Now, that's a good positive note to start off with this evening. The warm sunshine of Kenya, it stands in stark contrast to the shortening hours of daylight and to the cold autumn and winter season that we're venturing out upon. The sunshine of heaven, I believe, is represented in the smile of God's countenance upon us. His face, his countenance. Remember the great Aaronic blessing that the priest was given to bestow upon the people. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Part of the high priestly blessing was that Jehovah would make his face to shine upon his people. We always fear when God hides his face from us. We always fear those clouds that hide the sunshine of heaven from our view and from our sight. But how we rejoice, we revel in the prospect that there are also days when heaven, as it were, smiles upon us. When Jehovah lifts up his countenance upon us. And when his smile rests upon us. And certainly it was something that we find the saints of God in the Old Testament, they sought after that. They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant when the Bible teaches us that God lifts up the smile of his countenance upon his people. There's a great threefold prayer in Psalm 80. There's a threefold refrain found throughout that lovely portion of Scripture. It says, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Cause thy face to shine. Now, we know you're going back to the sunshine. We know that. We're assured of that. We know the temperature already has risen in Kenya. But Malcolm and Alison, when you go back, foremost, may you know the divine smile of God's approval abiding upon you. And such days, of course, are highly treasured by the church and by the servants of Christ. They're days of heaven and earth when Christ comes to visit his people. It doesn't matter whether you meet under a tarpaulin. It doesn't matter whether you meet in a brick building, mud building, or just in a congregation of people in the open air. It doesn't matter where we meet, brethren and sisters. If we have the smile of God's approval upon us, that's all we will ever need this side of God's eternity. And I pray that you'll know heavenly sunshine when you go back to the land of Kenya. I believe you're not just going back to the physical sunshine, but I do believe you're going back to days of blessing. Even in the time that you've been away, God has been blessing. And God has been strengthening the work and bringing those little fledgling works together. And we pray that as you go back, that God will be pleased to further strengthen your hand in the work of God and the work of the gospel in Glory Bible Church. And to those that remain behind, even in our shortening days and in our winter season, has the Lord left us without sunshine? I think not. I think of the words of that little hymn. It says, "Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul." And may you all, as a family, may you know the sunshine of Christ's presence in your soul in the days that lie ahead. Secondly, Christ has promised to be with us in our days of service. I want to define what that means. This was brought to my attention again. I was preaching at that text on the Lord's Day past, one of those great harvest texts. In Matthew 9:38, Jesus was speaking about those laborers that he wanted to be sent into his harvest field. And the word laborer there means a toiler. There are not too many toilers about today. But that's what the word means. It means those who will toil in the Master's harvest field. Malcolm and Alison will be very familiar with the picture that's in my mind's eye of that man going out with the djembe, the equivalent of our spade or rake or hoe, whatever the proper word is. And he goes out early in the morning before the sun is up and he starts to weed the maize field. And by midday, the sweat will be rolling down on him. His bones will be aching. He will be ready to come in and he will be ready to rest. What has he been doing? He has been toiling in the field. And work for the Master is toiling work. Somebody said to me years ago, a dear old elder, he's in glory today. He said to me, the ministry done God's way is the hardest work in the world. The ministry done the devil's way is the easiest work in the world. And we pray that God will help you to do the hardest work in the world, God's way. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's toiling work. And there's no shortcuts. Men and women, don't think there's some shortcut in bringing precious souls to Christ. Those souls are not won without a battle. They're not won without the toiling. And yet the Lord has promised to be with us in our service for him, in our toiling for him. And his presence is no less real on the foreign field as it is on the home field. I remember that story that's told of Ruth in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth the Moabitess. Here she came back to her homeland at the time of the harvest season. She was a stranger, but she found a place to labour in a distant harvest field. And what did she find in that harvest field? Let me read to you some verses for sake of time from Ruth chapter 2. Her labour in the harvest field, and she was only a gleaner. She was only picking up what others had left behind. And sometimes that's enough. Sometimes that's enough. We pick up what others have left behind. And we read that the master of the field, Boaz, said to Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come in unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Here's a missionary passage, if we ever had a missionary passage. And what does the Lord say to this Ruth the Moabitess, the stranger in the foreign land, labouring in the harvest field? He said, The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The heavenly Boaz, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is personally concerned with those who are in the harvest field. He is personally connected with their labour. Every sinew that's strained, every energy is expended, he knows all about it. He knows all about every labour that's expended for him to bring the harvest in. And he says, I will recompense thy work. We believe, as a board, that God has directed your feet back to Kenya. We believe in providence. He has opened up the way for you to return. So can we not say likewise, he's promised to protect you there. He's promised to provide for you there. But look at Ruth as she served in the field. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, was equally blessed. Because as she did the labour in the field, they were provided for because they couldn't labour in the field. And I believe absolutely that Christ can not only provide for Malcolm and Alison, but he can provide for their family and watch over their family. He's not only with those that are in the field, he's with the wider family circle, watching over them, blessing them, keeping them. And I know that both of you will enjoy his presence out in Kenya, but I also pray that the whole family at home also will enjoy the Saviour's presence with them, and that the Lord will continue to supply their every need. He's with you in your field of service, and he's with those that you love as you serve him in the field. Thirdly, we can say that this promise holds good for days of sorrow. It would be always good if we could stay in the sunshine all the time. But we were born into a fallen world, and this world groans and travails in pain, and it knows its days of sorrow. The Saviour was known as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There's no sorrow ever likened unto his sorrow. Isaiah 53 verse 3, Lamentations 1 and verse 12. We never read of Christ laughing in the Bible. I believe he did laugh. He was a man, he was a boy, he grew up in that home, it was a loving home. Yes, he would have laughed, there had been times of enjoyment, there had been times of merriment. But we only ever read of him as an adult weeping. The incarnate Son of God weeping. He was not only God, but he was the God-man. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was a man of compassion, as no other man ever was or ever could be. Now, whilst we rejoice in the sunshine, there also will be days of sorrow. And it cannot be anything else. There will be heartache. And I know both of you have had that heartache in the work of God. And I have no doubt up ahead there will be other issues that will bring pain to your heart and to your soul. I think of a John Mark who left the missionary team when he was needed most. What heartache that caused in the work of God to the Apostle Paul. What division it caused later on between Paul and Barnabas. glad that the whole story is told, because Paul was reunited with him later on in life. But it caused heartache. I think of Demas, who forsook the cause of the gospel. He loved this world more than he loved the world which is to come and the service of Christ. And there are many people like that. Dear brethren and sisters, we don't have to go to Kenya to find such people. We find them here in Northern Ireland, in Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches who have forsaken the pews. There will be heartache. There will be sorrow over the hardness of the human heart. We cannot even begin to imagine the awful depravity of sinful mankind. Sometimes I think as evangelical Christians, we live surrounded by, as it were, our protective evangelical bubble. But did not our Saviour burst into tears when he went into Jerusalem? Luke 19:41. He thought of that city visited by the prophets. He thought of that city that had been blessed beyond measure. And when he thought about its impending doom and the judgment that was to befall it within a generation, he burst out into tears. And I know there'll be tears. Tears of rejection. Tears over those who not only reject you, but reject most of all the Saviour whom you represent. And yes, there'll be sorrow of the loss of loved ones and faithful members of the flock. It always strikes me as a minister of the gospel that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one which is to come. And we can have our friends, our brethren and sisters round about us. But all of us, brethren and sisters, we're only here just for a little time. We're just pilgrims passing through, literally. I think of the Lord Jesus, that home that he loved to visit at Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and what pain it caused him. Pain it caused him when Lazarus died. And we read at his graveside in John 11 that he wept. John 11:35. He wept. And I know as a family, you've passed this way in recent days in the loss of Malcolm's dear mother. But we can add that reassurance of the words of the chorus of that lovely hymn that we love to sing in all of our meetings concerning the friend we have in Jesus. It says, in sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Days of sorrow. That's what we're told to do. That's what we ought to do. That's the only thing we can do. We take our sorrow, we roll it on him. We cast it on him, knowing, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, he cares for you. And he does care for you. In the days of sorrow, I'll be with you. Fourthly, this is a promise for those days of solitude. Loneliness, brethren and sisters, is one of the greatest afflictions that faces multitudes in this land in which we live in. Loneliness. Report after report shows that isolation and loneliness affects not only people's mental well-being, their emotional well-being, but their very physical well-being. As a church, does not teach us something that we should always be reaching out. Too often we're looking in. We're so looking in that we don't have time to look out. But as a church, we're called to look out. We're called to minister. We're called to be the ambassador for the friend of sinners and to reach out to those that are lonely. But you know, missionary work can be lonely. Homesickness is not just merely caused by loneliness. Being away from friends and family is caused by disorientation. You're in a different place. You're meeting different people. You have to deal with different problems. And those places and people and problems, they're all unique to Kenya and they're far removed from Bush Mills. A world away. And sometimes our contrasting worlds, they can collide. And it's hard to live in two dimensions at one and the same time. And sometimes the missionary can get lost in the middle of it all. But even in the midst of that busy daily schedule that you're going to have, with all the different demands being presented, the people I know who will be in that gate, and especially when they know you get back to Kitale, you will have a lot of visitors, so you'll need a lot of chai, and you'll need a lot of bread, and you'll need a lot of bananas to entertain all of the visitors who'll come to see you up ahead. But even with all of that, the shepherd's role can be a lonely road. A lonely path to travel. We'll look again at the life of Christ and the life he lived for us. And how often was he alone? Multitudes attended his preaching, his ministry, but there were times when he was alone, even in the crowd. And in those hours of solitude, he had sweet communion with the Father. And he knew the reviving that only those sweet hours of solitude can give. We see him cut off from his disciples time and time again. You know, even as shepherds, under shepherds in the work of God, sometimes it's good to be cut off from the flock from time to time. Just to be alone with the great shepherd. I think of how that's introduced to us in Mark's Gospel, Mark 1:35. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there prayed. That was prior to commencing one of his first preaching tours of Galilee. What did he do? He got away out on his own. And he got away from the crowd. And before he ever met others, he met with God the Father. And he prayed. And I would say to Malcolm and Allison, I know you'll never be alone physically and people-wise in Kenya. And we'd have to say that the Kenyan people are some of the most warm-hearted and open-hearted people in the world. But there'll be some times when you will be alone. And more than that, there'll be times for you to be alone just with God. And there in his presence to know holy communion with him. Separated from all that's near and dear. As the divine potter calls us aside. He puts his hand upon us. He breaks down our pride. He remolds us. He reshapes us. And even in those lonely moments he's promised to be our guide and our companion. Even in the solitude of the ministry, the isolation of the ministry. Isn't it good to know you're not alone? Octavius Winslow, I've come to appreciate this man very, very much. He said, what a privilege to have such a wonderful counsellor, such a divine guide as Christ at your side. As such, he is ever with you. He will guide you with his eye of providence. With his hand of power, with his heart of love. He knows the way that you take, for he has ordained it. He knows the crook in your lot, for he has appointed it. He will roll away the stone of difficulty, level mountains, fill up valleys, make the crooked path straight and the rough place smooth. This will he do for you and not forsake you. Ah, what a promise. A promise to Malcolm and Allison, but a promise also to ones that are left in the family. And there'll be times when you feel alone. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this is his promise. As a mission board, we can promise certain things. We can promise Malcolm and Allison our prayers. We can promise Malcolm and Allison our support and our backup. And as a church, collectively, we can promise them our best wishes tonight. And I know that's why you're here, just to personally say that by your presence in the meeting tonight. But when all is said and done, all that we can do, humanly speaking, is very small. It's very limited. But what a contrast is Matthew 28 and verse 20. And this is a promise, remember, it's given in the context of the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christ's encouragement to those that he's sending forth. This is the word of one whose promises have never been broken. This is his pledge to you, and it's his pledge to the family that are left behind. I am with you always. All day, every day, right to the end of your days, I am with you, and you with me. And on the strength of that promise alone, Malcolm and Allison, we send you forth into the Master's harvest field once again. All day, every day, as you labour for him in the Master's harvest field, he says, I'll be with you. That's what we put our faith in tonight. And as we put our faith in that promise of Christ again, may you go forth in faith. And as the Lord enables you to go out and sow and reap, we pray that you'll know his presence and his grace, his divine enablement with you every moment of the journey. May the Lord bless you both and your family and undertake for you. Reverend Park.
And I thank Reverend Harris on your behalf for that excellent word. And it was an excellent word. An excellent word for the missionaries that are going out. And an excellent word for the family that are here behind. But I'm sure your heart's been touched. It's been a good word for all of us. Very suitable. And we go forward knowing that the Lord is with us always, every day, in the service of Christ. We have a closing hymn. 636. Not sure if this is a hymn chosen by yourself, Reverend Patterson. So it's a hymn about the fire falling. And that's certainly what we need. And it takes us to the story of Elijah. And that marvellous time when the fire of God fell. And we know that's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God coming down. May the Spirit of God anoint your ministry. May we remember that this God is still alive. You'll sing it five times, I think, in two of the verses, and each time in the chorus, Elijah's God still lives today. We believe that, and he still answers by fire. Thank you.
Bye.
McDowell is here, and he's going to come and lead us in prayer at the conclusion of our meeting tonight. Thank you.
Like the Reverend Park, will be intrigued to hear the interim moderator of this church breaking into Swahili in the prayer meetings. And I let you know, Mr. Park, it is Swahili, so that no adverse reports go back to President this man speaking in tongues. But we look forward to that. Intriguing to hear the message tonight, because as you know, I'm involved in prison ministry, and like Malcolm and Alison, have been working a bit remotely, and we send down a sermon every week by email. 70 of them are distributed by two prison officers, and today's message, which I just finished at tea time, are the words, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And what greater encouragement could our brother have than the promise of the presence of the Lord, as we've heard in the message this evening. They've been very busy. We have fellowship with them, Patricia and myself. Times we've been to their house and treated right royally. Times they've been to us. And I know these folks have been very, very busy. They haven't been lying about. There's days you couldn't get them. And they've been working remotely in relation to the place where the Lord has called them. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for the grace that they've given to thy servants to persevere in the work that you've called them to, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of what seem to be closing doors through a part of the time. We do thank thee tonight that you've opened up the way for them. A great door, and an effectual, is opened up unto them. And we pray, Lord, as they depart very shortly, that they'll go with the confidence that you've called them, that you've promised to be with them, even on to the very end. Amen. Lord, we know that at times they might miss those loved ones of theirs. At times they might miss the fellowship and friendship at home. But Lord, we know that you will never leave them. That you will never forsake them. We pray that they'll know from day to day something of that presence of thine. Keep thine hand upon them. For good, we pray, Keep thine hand upon their family for good, we pray, and meet their need in the days that lie ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.